you could have chosen someone that would be beneficial for our scene when black men are dying at some of the highest rates we ever have. You know what I mean? Across this country. And there's problems outside, you know, from each other and everything else, inside, outside. We're dealing with it on both sides. And they're just sitting here like, oh, look at black people make, you know, acting a coon. That's what they really want to show us. And that's because it's not by us. It's just sent to us.
This is the Bruce Poinsett Show. This is the Bruce Poinsett Show. For the world's most dangerous infomercial, I'm your host, Bruce Poinsett. Along with my producer, Ada, we bring you this weekly commentary and interview experience from the Numbers FM studio of the Portland Art Museum. This is the best of the Bruce Poinsett Show, the world's most dangerous infomercial. I'm your host, Bruce Poinsett, and along with my producer, Ada, we bring you this weekly commentary and interview experience from the Numbers FM studio of the Portland Art Museum. You can catch the full show every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on the Numbers FM 96.7. You can also catch clips on youtube.com/Bruce Poinsett, plus exclusive bonus content on patreon.com/Bruce Poinsett. Make sure to follow us on twitch.tv/TheNumbersFM, that's numbers with a Z, or the Numbers Podcast Network on thenumberspodcast.com. Again, that's numbers with a Z, or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to the Bruce Poinsett Show. This is the world's most dangerous infomercial. I have a guest you may have seen once or twice on here in studio, Mr. Mac Smith.
Yo, yo.
And you know, usually we're talking political machinations, but today we have serious topics such as sports and clickbait rap media lists.
We talk about ball.
But you know, one of the things that I discovered recently, great innovation in sports, we'll call it that, is Cameron and Mace have a sports talk show right now, and it's what I didn't know I needed.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah, like it's called It Is What It Is. It's got the full studio setup, and if you would ask yourself, do I want to see Cameron and Mace just doing the sports talk TV thing and everything I expect from that? It is.
So a quick Mac fact. I went to college with Mace.
Huh.
When I was at Morehouse, he was actually at Clark Atlanta, and he used to get his car attacked all the time because he was rich and we were not. So we were eating the rich even back then.
Nice. Yeah. Like, even with, and again, it's all the, it's like the exact same subjects of, you know, if you're watching, was it like First Take or was it First Things First or that other show with the skeleton guy that I'm not going to name on here.
Skeleton guy.
And Shannon Sharp trying his best. God bless his soul. but no, even stuff that, I'll be honest with you, stuff I probably wouldn't condone on other things I consume, such as, you know, Andrew Wiggins has been in the news with his, why he hasn't been with the Warriors all season. Would I, if, again, if random, if Chris Broussard was cracking jokes on it on TV, would I be with it? Probably not.
He's not funny though.
But if it's Mace with a gavel, gold.
Also, Cameron's just an absolute ham. Like, you really can't, like, there's no one that, like, really, like, encapsulates, like, the aura of, like, a Knicks fan publicly these days the way that he does. He's like, you know, he's like Michael Rapaport, but he's black. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's valid. So I definitely respect that. And also, he played college ball as well. Right. So although I did see him saying that he could take Chalmers one-on-one.
Yep.
And people have been posting videos of him playing basketball, and it does not appear to be true. I don't think he's got a chance, but I would definitely put money on it.
And that's it. That's the other part of the show. As someone who respects quality marketing, like, if you're just one, if you're Cam, you're Mace, and you're selling more streams, this is a good way.
Yeah.
If you got new projects coming out, this is a good way. Also, they sell pills at the end of every clip, which is,
do they really?
Yep, it's called like Pink Power Horse or something. It's, I that can't actually the describe the ridiculousness of these ads because, again, full ham on those too.
They got bodega ads. They got the bodega pills on the ads. That's wild.
But on a slightly serious, like, media note, I think it's just interesting because sort of like the formula, right, is you want to give someone a new idea or sell your product or whatever, you hook them in with something familiar.
Yeah.
So it's Cam and Mace doing sports talk TV that we're all doing, watching, consuming,
right,
or reacting to people reacting to. And they got you. Like,
for sure.
And there's a whole generation of people, like, you know, I was in high school in the mid 2000s, who are now going to understand Cam and Mace in a very different, or in like a whole new way. Like, same way I'm, Frank got me watching Oz now, and I have a whole new appreciation for the Allstate commercial mayhem guy.
So, I mean, that's real though. I mean, I feel the same way about a lot of stuff. Like, even like Joe Budden, you know, like, people talk about him as like an influencer. I'm like, he's a rapper? I don't understand why you guys are listening to what he has to say about other rappers. It's kind of weird. But, you know, reinvention is strange. I was talking to my kid about the T.I. and he never knew that he was a rapper. He just knew him as a meme. He's like, he's the guy that uses big words all the time. And I was like, no, he's a rapper, bro. What are you talking about? He's like, he was? Like, he was like a real house husband or whatever. I'm like, no, he's actually a whole rap god from back in the day. And he didn't believe, I had to put it on the car. He didn't believe me.
I wanted, like, that's amazing to me. But then I'm also like,
that was,
yeah, 90. Paper Trail was a while ago, wasn't it?
That was like 2003 or something. So,
yeah. But with that, I forgot exactly how it came up, but like, I feel like I posted something. You were just like, so Bruce, when are we getting a sports show? I was like, you know what? Let's just get in the studio and talk some shit about sports, see what happens.
I mean, I feel like, why not? Let's just do it. If they can do it, we can do it. If Cam and Mace can talk sports, then Bruce and Matt can talk sports.
Exactly. And it is topical right now. The Blazers season is almost coming to a merciful end. So there's that. And the Knicks are in the first round. And you know what? We're going to start here because we need arguments.
Oh, we talk about the Knicks now, huh? Yeah. Okay.
Knicks are going against the Cavs in the first round.
Going to beat the Cavs in the first round. Yep.
You know, resident Knicks fan in the building.
Absolutely. No shame, my game.
And, you know, I'm just going to, you know, bring some basketball analysis that, you can debate with it if you want.
It better be positive, Bruce. So I got to say,
positive
analysis.
Oh, it's not going to be.
Okay. What we got? You the boss.
Knicks on the road against the Cavs, first round.
Easy money.
How many games for the Knicks? Because I got two feel-good stories of the year that are going to get crushed in the first round of the playoffs. One is the Kings. It's happening. I don't care if it's they face the Clippers, they face the Warriors, maybe even the Lakers. People, not just are they going to get beaten, there will be a TikTok trend at some point.
Oh,
people
no.
have like flashlights or something and they are stomping on it, saying F the beam.
Whoa.
It's going to happen.
My man is doubting the Kings. I mean, I'm just going to bring it back to the Knicks. What do you mean? How long is it going to be? The Knicks are definitely, I feel like they've got it in five. Maybe six if Donovan has like a 70-point night or something. But I don't think that's going to happen because the Knicks play extremely physically and they play great defense. If you look at what the analysts have been saying, honestly, they're saying that any team that plays against the Knicks, probably, even if they win, it's probably going to lose in the next round because the Knicks are that physical. They really play like a 90s team on defense and on offense. Like, they run into you on purpose. If you watch the game when they came here and played against Dame and the Blazers and demolished them, it was really a matter of like the guards and the bigs just making contact unnecessarily constantly against guys that don't like contact. And that's what, and the Cavs are not a physical team like that. I don't think that they have the same the same energy to take on.
The same Cavs, the number one defense in the league?
But physically, are they going to deal with all that body? There's a lot of body on the Knicks.
I'll say this, though, about saying, like, even if you play the Knicks and win and you won't win in the second round, I mean, I agree, but you're not gassed. because of the Knicks, because the next round you'd be playing Milwaukee. So
no, I mean,
kind of going to win it all while we're on here. Listen, on predictions.
I mean, the teams are saying that they don't want to play the Knicks in the first round. All the teams are saying that because the Knicks are an upset worthy team. They've beat the Celtics on multiple occasions. They've beat Philly on multiple occasions. They've beat the Cavs at 3 out of 4. They beat Miami at home and in New York.
Miami this year is a mess, but
New York has the has the second best record in the NBA since the All-Star break.
Like I said,
they're hot.
There's two feel-good stories.
They're hot and they're healthy.
Are probably coming to a crashing end.
Oh yeah, somebody's season has to go down, and I'm going to go ahead and bet on Cleveland because they don't have LeBron James, bro. And Cleveland has never won anything without LeBron James.
See, now you're trying to put me in the position of just rocking for Cleveland. I still got the Knicks losing, but oof. I will say this because you're talking about, you know, when they were physical that other year too, when they ran into, you know, the king of physicality, Trae Young. How did that work out?
I mean, they didn't have multiple all-stars. They didn't have the team they have now. The team as constructed currently, they don't have weak links like that. There's like, they don't have a, I don't know who I'm going to say. They don't have any weak players. All their players are solid. Even their backup centers are solid. And that's a big deal. I mean, if you get guys that are going in there and going against anybody, anyone's getting highlight reels, it's just excellent team basketball. And I don't see, I mean, yeah, sure, you can say that Donovan has been scoring his mind out, and that's great. But the Knicks are playing such excellent pass defense, such excellent lane defense, and just bumping players so much. And Donovan is not all that physical. He's athletic, but he is not really one to sit there and grind it out with guys. And these guys are definitely going to put a focus on grinding out with him. Josh Hart on Donovan is definitely going to see to be must see TV, and there's just no question about that. He held Durant to what, 14 points as they were playing in a game. So I mean, like, and they smacked the Nets. So and Phoenix.
But here's the thing. Until, I mean, it really does come back to Randle again. Julius Randle, I actually really like your game. You know, anytime you want to run away from New York and come to Portland for some inexplicable reason.
He's not going
reason.
To Portland, bro.
No one's going to do that, but you know what?
Y'all had y'all chance to have him, and y'all did and y'all did not bite, so, no. You know.
Again, it's not going to happen, but I'd spend way too much time on Blazer Twitter, which is a hellscape of terrible ideas upon terrible ideas.
It is.
I think it's like USA Basketball this week, so.
Y'all could have had Josh Hart, but y'all let him go for a draft pick, and you're welcome.
Hey,
because the Knicks being so good is getting the Blazers an extra draft pick. So, you know,
that's how we're going to transition to this next subject, which is the Blazers. So we got to have a prediction since it's a sports show. So Cavs in 6.
Knicks in 5.
Okay. So to the Blazers and the year it has been.
Dumpster fire.
Hey, the tanking has gotten amazing. Like, last week of the NBA, the tank race / playoff positioning, you get a lot of those. I was listening to something the other day talking about the Blazers have back-to-backs with Golden State and the Clippers, two teams who will possibly destroy the Kings in the first round. Mm-hmm. And it's like, to predict what tanking and shenanigans are going to happen when everyone involved wants to lose.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Tanking's just really bad for basketball. It's gotten really ugly. They got to find a way to, you know, incentivize teams to not tank. The tank offs are really can be tough to watch when you're watching teams like, you know, when Portland goes against like Houston or something. It's just like both teams are like throwing their worst players in for a 30 minutes game. So you can just watch, you know, Drew Eubanks try and dunk on people with no handle.
Troutdale's own Shaq of Troutdale.
I'm put like this. If I had to play Drew Eubanks, he beat me like 21-0, I'm sure. But when he's in the NBA, that boy looked different. And he plays great ball. Like, I actually enjoy his game and what he does, but it's a very simplistic kind of game. And he's not about to sit here and impact huge wins. And so if you're putting guys like him, I mean, Skylar Mays is like the best player on the Blazers right now, him and Shaedon Sharpe. And that's saying a lot. It's saying a lot, you know. But anybody can, you know, if you're sitting here playing, you know, these scrub games, I feel like anybody can go out there and get 30 a game. Yeah. Anybody can. If the offense is, especially in the way that the Blazers offense is set, it's always set for, you know, a certain guard to get as many shots as they want. So if you put any guard in that slot, you can up their value. So I think the Blazers are really just trying to show off a bunch of players and really trying to build value in their team, you know, in their teammates, so they can make a couple of trades, you know, in the offseason or whatever. So I can respect it to a degree, but I feel like the Blazers could have been in the playoffs this year, even if they couldn't have won.
Yeah.
And so it's frustrating to watch a team that really is, I feel like, is better than the Lakers sitting here losing when we could have been at least in the play-in. There's really no question about it. We've lost games that didn't make any sense on purpose. And if we hadn't, we'd still be in the picture. So they're not, you know, they're not competing. And that's frustrating, I think, as a Blazer fan to just watch a team just not compete.
I feel like a lot of this is really my ire with Blazers Twitter, which I keep going to. So I'm part of the problem. But it's just, again, you got Ant and Dame. You know, probably go as far as they can go. It's probably not as far as Ant or Dame and CJ went, because as much potential, because that's the other thing. When we look at potential, like, you can look at Ant and say, well, look at what he was doing at 19 versus, you know, CJ, who's obviously at Lehigh at the time. Mm-hmm. But like, nah, something like, maybe CJ isn't, I don't know, the like,
maybe going to college and learning how to play basketball actually helps players win in the NBA. Awesome. Might be a thing. Could be wrong. Could be totally wrong. But I feel like, you know, perhaps, you know, those learning years actually help players get better. And Shaedon Sharpe's not really getting like a real learning year, I feel like. I feel like he's being thrust into the fire and like people are like, you know, it's okay to lose. I'm just not sure how that's going to impact his career going forward, especially as a trailblazer. Where, you know, like Philly dealt with that, where like losing just became a culture and became an okay thing. It took them a while to really dig out of that situation. You know, they had a whole guy that like, just like, he like forgot how to shoot, didn't he? Like, and had to get like mental health situations going on to get his
shout,
like,
shout out together. To Markelle Fultz, who's
playing great now.
Yeah. I got a friend who's a big Magic fan for no discernible reason whatsoever. So I hope you're watching this and heard that part. But, shout out to Markelle Fultz for turning it around. No, with the Blazers, it's like, as bad as it is, I feel like people don't realize how good this is for a bad situation, if that makes sense.
I mean, it's entertaining at the very least.
Because like people want, you know, people are like, well, should we just trade Dame away and, you know, rebuild? And it's like, this isn't Miami. This isn't Los Angeles. This isn't places where people want to go. Rebuilding is going to look a lot more like rebuilding in OKC than it looks in those places if you do it. And the Blazers, actually, no one really talks about this, but when LaMarcus left, that was actually a rebuild that just went, that was like the once in a lifetime rebuild that actually went well, because Dame turned out to be that guy. And betting on that happening also, again is ridiculous.
And also a CJ, who no one expected to become that guy, became that guy. No one saw the CJ thing coming. Like, literally, no one thought he was going to be a 25-point-a-game player for seasons to come. We thought he might be like a, you know, 15-6 kind of guy, but we didn't think he was going to become a 25-6 kind of guy. That's a whole different caliber of player. Plus, he actually plays a little bit of defense.
Also a legitimate, like, you know, intangibles leader.
He's a leader. He's an actual team leader. So like those things, we definitely got lucky. Nurkic worked out in that time. You know, the players that we got, you know, we had a bunch of athletic wings at the time who were doing good things. You know, I would love to see a Shaedon and, you know, and Watford and all these guys come out and become the guys that we hoped that they could be. But the reality is, you got to trade for somebody if you want to compete in the next couple of years. If we just plan on tanking for the next couple of seasons and trying to get, you know, Wembanyama this year and Caitlin Clark the next year, whoever we're going to try to pick up, you know, we have to like really think about like, how are we going to like survive this next year? Cause just being like a losing team is not really a Portland thing. That's not something that we're really used to, just being like a team that just loses and doesn't compete. And I think that has a long-term effect on players, and Dame doesn't have that much longer left to be in his prime, at least. He'll be a shooter probably for a long time, but to be in his prime like he is.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a lot of sports science, a lot of like just evolution of athletes is rewriting this, but betting on this to just keep continuing, it's not it. So for the sake of time wise, because we have another two subjects, actually, we're gonna hit one kind of quick, only because we're recording today on April 6th, 2023. I say that because by the time this gets out, this topic will have probably been beaten to death 18 minutes.
I know where we're going.
But there was a championship game this past weekend.
The only one that mattered.
And there was a very predictable. Yeah. If sports can become a proxy race war, it can and will. And that is exactly what happened with the women's championship game.
The chess game.
Yeah. You know, for those who have been under a rock, you know, Caitlin Clark of Iowa became, you know, a national figure. Was you
Steph
know,
Curry.
Yeah. White girl Steph Curry.
White girl Steph Curry. That's wild.
You know, hitting people with the Tony Yayo.
Say it right. Yes, I'm talking
also about. My favorite part of this saga was the Black History moment for Tony Yayo because everyone was saying John Cena.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that. They go to the championship, face LSU, Angel Reese, get stomped out. Angel Reese hitting her back. Yep. And white people went crazy.
Listen, they were so ready to hate on the winning Black team. First of all, the one dude said, after apologizing, was it Olbermann? Keith Olbermann? After calling her a piece of shit or something like that.
His was idiot.
Oh, there, idiot. Stupid,
another
idiot,
person
stupid
was
idiot,
definitely
yeah.
classless he piece was of shit.
Yeah, that's right. He was a stupid idiot. Yeah, after that. Or what an idiot or something like that. Then he apologized because he doesn't actually watch sports and doesn't know what's going on. Because he didn't know that Caitlin
Clark.
He worked
at ESPN for so long. He knows exactly how this works. Prior,
Caitlin Clark told a girl, shut up, you're down a 15. And they did an ESPN segment about her trash talk.
Mm. Yeah.
Caitlin Clark even said after the fact, like, yeah, there was a lot of trash being talked by all the teams. And I'm definitely one of the biggest trash talkers. And so when she got me back, like, as an athlete, you win and you lose. Mm-hmm. And when you lose, you get talked trash to. I mean, it's just the way it goes down, right? I mean, if you lose the game, I can talk trash. Especially if I'm not going to play you again until maybe next playoffs. Maybe. Right. You know what I mean? I couldn't even tell you who's in the men's Final Four. I'll be honest with you. I don't know or care. But the girls' thing was just amazing. Like, there was just so much hype about it, and the girls would have done a great job of boosting it on social media. And I loved just watching the LSU come up, and I also loved watching Caitlin Clark. I wasn't even sure what team she played for, but I knew that she was a baller, right?
All right.
So when I saw that her going up against LSU in the final game, I'm like, this is an LSU win. Should be obvious. LSU has a whole squad.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa has, like, that one tall girl. There's actually two tall girls. A shout out to the one that comes off the bench. She's actually, I feel like her game is real nice. It's going to translate really well. But Caitlin Clark is like a generational talent. But that shouldn't take away. I'm sure she averaged like 30 something in the tournament.
Mm.
But like, that shouldn't take away from a girl that's averaging over 20 and 15 a game. Like, like having a 34 doubles. In an NAACP season, or excuse me, NAACP season. in an NCAA season is wild. And it's worthy of a lot of respect. And people acted like, who is this nobody talking to this hero of ours, which really kind of underpins the ongoing racism that, like, Caitlin Clark got all the attention as if she was the only female player doing anything. And when people saw this LSU team that had multiple players that can go off, even Morris, people were concerned. Morris came at the end of that game and put in buckets. And the first half, what's her name, came in and put in mad buckets. And people were like, oh, well, it wasn't even her that won it. She shouldn't have got the MVP. She's averaging 25 and 15.
Yeah.
Who else are you going to give it to? But if you have only watched the last 15 seconds of one game all season, I could actually see why, as a white person, you might be mad at this Black person who's tall, picking on this white girl who's not.
It's framing. Like, I say this as someone who I just stopped watching. I watch the tournament a little bit. I watch the championship games, but I don't follow college basketball at all. So I can just, from the outside, the billing before the championship game is like Caitlin Clark versus Kim Mulkey, a real life Disney villain, a Cruella de Vil personified as a coach, her own, like, shit on her own former star player, Brittany Griner, when she was in a right. Russian prison.
Right.
Kim Mulkey is a terrible person. But horrible. Anyways, but somehow that's but where the billing started.
She's a good coach, though.
True. But where that's where the narrative started. Where did the narrative end?
Because
shitting on black women.
Because they wanted it to be a white person versus a white person. And the black girls came out and did their thing. Mm. And they didn't just do it quietly. Because honestly, if she wouldn't have done that, it would have been billed as,
right.
as the coach of this team beat the star player. That's exactly how they would have branded it. And it would have been the white woman won. And when she did that, it forced everyone to say, well, what's she even averaging? Oh, oh, right. What's her numbers look? I heard guys, she missed multiple layups in multiple games. I'm like, she averages 52% from the field and she doesn't shoot threes. So
yeah, go deep into the skip bag to talk about she missed multiple layups in a game.
Right, right.
Hey, remember, LeBron took a jumper with about 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter and it missed. He's not the GOAT.
Right, right.
He isn't, but what?
Right. It's not the argument. Okay, she missed a couple layups and she had to get her own rebound and put it in. First of all, that's really hard to do in a college, get a college playoff game, yeah. get your own rebound for missing. And it's not like she's not being guarded by anyone. They're not wide open. She's not going right. to the basket for a layup. These are hard. These are tough hook shots and layups and floaters around the basket with guys, with girls in her face. She's not that tall. She's not 6'9". She's taller than most of the other girls out there, sure, but she's not 6'8". She's not, you know, Lisa Leslie. She's, yeah. and she's not, she just went through and she plays hard and she boxes out. And that's the big thing is her box out game is vicious. So like, it was just, it's just funny. Like she had to actually do that. And then people are saying, well, her gesture and her classlessness outshined her performance and her team's win. No, it didn't.
No,
no, it didn't. In 2 years, she's going to look back and realize that no one remembers her championship, only her sportsmanship.
Yeah, no.
No.
That's no, definitely not no, how that's going to work. Definitely not how
it, she has an MVP. She has a tourney MVP. She's going to, in 2 years, she's going to look back at her trophy case and be like, did that.
That was really it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we talking about? It's not even a big deal. I didn't even care that Caitlin Clark did this first. I didn't care what she did. If she would have pulled her pants down and mooned that girl, she won.
Hey, look, semifinal game against South Carolina, like, my family is actually, families in South Carolina for the most part, they are actually like big Gamecocks mm-hmm. fans. So
in addition,
yes. So like in addition to like,
what is your mascot?
I forgot that was the team name and I was like, yeah. dang, I'm going to need to censor that. Oh, yeah. I have to.
The only time you can say with no problem.
I have the merch. I used to wear the sweatshirt in high school all the time. Jesus. But, you know, in addition to that, in addition to like, just, you know, if you're not a fan of Dawn Staley, I don't know what's wrong with you. But
for real,
it's like I enjoyed that game nonetheless. It's like that's just me swooping in and liking basketball
after that game.
Exactly,
calling them thugs for playing physical basketball. But it's also, you know, I don't think it's talked about enough. People are talking, you know, a lot about the racial aspect of it, and rightly so, because clearly it's all this internalized racism. Mm. So it's what it is. But there's also a huge difference between what's expected of women and men in sports. Yep. And that's actually disturbing to me. Like nobody cares if like Larry, a Bird is talking trash and waving people off and
right.
doing all kind of stuff. Nobody cared when, you know, and I mean, it's not just Caitlin Clark. Yes, she was definitely highlighted positively for her trash talk, even when it was totally below the belt. But if this was men, I don't think anybody would have cared. If the NAACP guy dunked on somebody for a game winner and took his shirt off and ripped it off and was like, yeah, it'd be par for the course. If
I just want to point out the NAACP thing again.
The NAACP
yeah, again. Yeah.
I keep doing that. You know, they're on my mind.
The NAACP guy.
On my mind.
Ooh.
But,
Mr. You know, Scuttlebutt, you just throwing down dunks.
In my head, bro. Just rent free.
That image is actually going to... sorry. Go on. I'm but sorry.
it's a good pause. But like, just the same week that dude on the Lakers, the point guard.
Right.
He did the two, a small thing to Patrick Beverly, a renowned a trash talker, and the media went wild. First of all, it wasn't even that big of a deal. Even he was like, at the game, he was like, I just did the two small thing because he always does that. So it was kind of funny. And it wasn't a pivotal point in the game or anything. He was just talking trash. He just scored on Pat Bev. And it wasn't even a big move. He just hit a floater crossing the lane and then hit the two small. And it was on ESPN. It was on Twitter. Yeah. It was on everything going wild. Nobody cared. Again, that was a reversal of the race. Don't get me wrong. Mm. But people also love Pat Bev, who talks trash continuously when he's losing. He's like that guy that you're beating a street fighter. And he just does low kicks and he's still just talking trash and you're beating it behind and you're getting juggled, but he's still like, oh, but you can't do this if I was somebody else. He's like that guy. And they still love him for his trash talk. But when a girl goes out there and does a this and follows you and goes like this and says, yeah, give me my ring. If Steph Curry is shooting a threes and turning around backwards and throwing up fours, when Klay Thompson is telling people, shut up on the bench, you don't have no rings, nobody cares. But as soon as a girl, a black woman specifically, shows a bit of intensity, a bit of fight, a bit of, yeah, we did this, I'm proud of myself, and you couldn't stop me, even though you're the superstar, a favorite of everything, which she was, all of a sudden she's a villain?
Hey.
This wouldn't even register in men's sports.
The Bruce Poinsett Show will be back right after these messages.
Help support this channel and get early access to videos, plus exclusive content and patrons-only live discussions by becoming a member at patreon.com/BrucePoinsett.
Welcome back to The Bruce Poinsett Show.
I have Mr. We Out Here magazine here.
Oh, I do that.
Thesis. You know co-founder of The Thesis.
Tonight. That's tonight.
So Complex recently put out a list of its hip hop media power rankings.
I'm not on it.
that is the most Portland response.
I'm such a loser. I checked like, yo, what? Yeah, like, what if I'm on here? No, it's not close, bro.
But yeah, so their top 25, most influential players in hip hop media, and this list is a doozy. So I kind of just want to go around the room with things that stuck out to you, but I'm going to start because it is the Poinsett Show, the world's most dangerous infomercial. And there's a name that's not on here, but
Max Smith.
This guy. There's a name on here. When I see this list and I see how it's formatted, I see who's up at number 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever. And I'm like, this is the house this person built. Anyone want? 8-0, you can't because I told you earlier. Mac, you want to take a guess?
I don't know.
Wendy Williams. This, you can't tell me when you look at this list, when you look at...
Wait, that's a name I haven't heard in a while.
But I'm just saying, think about Wendy Williams' late 90s, early 2000s influence on hip hop media.
But it's not about back then. The list is about now. Who's got the influence today?
Wendy Williams is a cartoon character. I'm not saying she shouldn't be on this list in 2023. What I'm saying, when you see Joe Budden, Academics, Charlamagne the God, who is part of the Wendy Williams tree, as the top three, I read this list and I say, this is the house Wendy Williams built because it's the same family tree of coverage.
That's respectful. But if I was doing a top, a top 10 to 25 most influential players in the league, I'm not going to list a Jerry West.
Again, I'm not saying, to be clear, I'm not saying Wendy Williams should be on this list.
Her influence just saying, is there, though.
Yeah, like when I read this, when I go further down with Gillian Wallow, when I see what Nori's doing today.
But the people on the list from her tree are pretty much all horrible people.
I mean, Wendy Williams was not exactly, I shouldn't say was, because she's still alive.
She's still with us.
Her reputation is not exactly as a great person.
She's a meme, bro. She's literally a meme. and like a joke waiting to happen all the time. I feel like the list had people on it that I feel like I can respect for the most part as far as their contributions to hip hop media, because really that's what it's about.
Right.
I don't know about the order of any of the list. I felt like, Mr. Wilson should have been a lot higher. And it's not just because he follows me on Twitter. but you know, I feel like in general, he's just been like a real OG in the game that's continued to keep it moving and push the conversations. He had all of Twitter talking about if Future was the best rapper or not a couple of years ago. I mean, that's huge. You know what I mean? Like to get guys like that and to really have these, he's interviewed Hove. He's interviewed, you know, Drake. He's interviewed a Biggie. You know what I mean? He gave a Rated I of 5 mics when it came out, not later. You know, his history with The Source and with all those different things that he's done over the years, his connection at Tidal, which is a huge influencer of hip hop. I feel like having him like below Joe Budden and Charlamagne is kind of funny to me, but I can also see that like
that's all over the list though.
At those guys, at those guys like Rock the Boat, you know, Academics being number 2 is wild. He rocks the boat though. Does he do anything for the culture? I don't think positively.
Absolutely not.
You know, he's hurtful to the culture really more than anything else. He's getting people killed out here darn near. So I'm like, you know, but that is the thing though. If people are dying because you're covering nonsense, maybe you are influential, but you know, there's guys that have just as much influence on what people are listening to that don't get people killed. And I feel like,
facts.
But also it's Complex. Who runs Complex?
Yeah, if we're talking again,
it's not influence.
Unfortunately, influence isn't positive or negative. It's like
not, it's just influence.
What people are following and what's dictating the conversation.
The like, real conversation is why does Complex have so much influence in the conversation?
Vocabulary difference between black owned media and black targeted media. Complex is black targeted media.
Facts.
Very much so.
Facts.
I for some reason, like I assume people know that, but people really don't know that.
It's like the Adam Tutu dude or whatever his name is. People were like, oh, he's bro. Racist. I'm like, but he's been racist, bro.
He is,
but he's on the list, right?
Yeah. Yes, Adam 22, you know, Mr. No, I first learned about No Jumper from a kid at LO High, like several years ago.
Like Oswego, shout out.
So I feel like that's fitting. I actually think the story of No Jumper is semi-interesting in the fact that it started out as, at least by Adam 22's admission and interviews, like, I'm trying to create content for virtually unknown artists. Mm-hmm. Now, the content he was creating was, you know, low-budget TMZ shit. Mm-hmm. But in theory, as far as, like, getting names out of, again, people who are relatively unknown nationally, there is some truth to that. Now, of course, what did it morph into? He's doing Lil interviews Pump. With Richard Spencer right
Listen,
now.
Created Lil Pump.
Jeez. At the end of the day, I feel like in all aspects of hip hop, whether you want to be a rapper or a journalist or whatever, at some point, not black people decided that hip hop is the lowest bar of entry for whatever related profession they wanted to be a part of. Mm-hmm. Whether you shoot music videos, whether you're just an influencer, a wannabe, or a blogger, whatever. And I don't have any issue with black people that take that route because that's ours. But I definitely feel weird when these not black people, and I'm going to say straight up, mainly white folks and Asians, they jump on this bandwagon of I'm doing hip hop and I want to create a hip hop. I want to be part of the underground. And they amass this following that they do by having a black targeted media. Mm-hmm. And then when they get the following and the fans, they just revert back to whatever they really wanted to do. Yo. And it's so pervasive in our culture. And it literally happens in every aspect of what we do, from singers to people that rap that don't rap no more. Mm-hmm. People point out Lil Yachty, but I can give you 50 white examples that are far more. Yep. I don't know what Iggy Azalea is doing these days, but I bet she's not rapping.
She ain't rapping. Jalen Brunson in Knicks games.
Right.
Go Knicks.
Right, go Knicks. But you know what I'm saying, though? It's like, literally, like, these people see our culture. They say there's a low bar for entry. I can start in the underground. I'm literally, you know, that guy down here because I have resources where that no one else has. Mm-hmm. You know, I get people all the time. Hey, I'm trying to come through this and be a part of this. Can I work with y'all? I don't have no budget. Yes, you do. You got budget and your uncle got budget and your daddy got budget and your mama got budget. You live in Lake Oswego. You got hella budget. But you want to come out here to these free things and do all this free stuff with all these black people and use our labor and then just bubble up. with all your resources that you hid from all of us the whole time. And I feel like Adam 2-2 is just, he's just a reincarnation of that exact same thing that they always do.
I would agree. The Fox strategy. Yeah. For those who don't know, in the 90s, you know, specifically off the back of In Living Color, but mm-hmm. like Fox mm-hmm. on Black entertainment mm-hmm. builds up, the brand builds up its, you know, legitimacy in the media, WB. Is able to flip that to get these big, you know, NFL live sports contracts, mm-hmm. is able to then take some of that money, put it into funding, among other things, Fox News.
And people say, so what? Why do you care? That person just used that area and left. But it's not the case. They don't just leave. They actually gatekeep
yep.
in our culture. So what you get is you get these people who not only get a following and a celebrity and money off of our culture, but they also then turn around and gatekeep who's allowed in our culture. They don't gatekeep any white people. They Never. Gatekeep all the black people. Oh, he's not cool no more. That's why on hip hop media that you see, on black targeted media that you see, it's always black folks getting in trouble. It's always black folks causing problems. It's always black folks getting accused of this, that, and the other. That don't happen to white people. Because A, in black targeted media, nobody would care. Mm-hmm. And B, in white targeted media, they're not going to say it until it's proven it's a fact, right? So that's just what it is. You look at Complex, you look at Adam 2-2, you look at all these different places that do this. This is what they do. And then they tell us who's in charge of our culture. For them to tell me that Joe Budden is the most influential person in hip hop, no shade to Joe, right? He has enough problems. But like, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not here to tear him down right now. But like, you could have chosen someone that would be beneficial for our scene when black men are dying at some of the highest rates we ever have. You know what I mean? Across this country. And there's problems outside, you know, from each other and everything else. Inside, outside, we're dealing with it on both sides, and they're just sitting here like, oh, look at black people make, you know, acting a coon. That's what they really want to show us. And that's because it's not by us. It's just sent to us.
Mm-hmm. Truly. Mm. I have an unpopular opinion about one person on this list. I've previewed this for Ado. DJ Vlad. And I want to start this off. I don't think Vlad is a good person. Don't trust Vlad. If you have current criminal charges or pressing criminal charges, don't do a Vlad TV interview. However, or if you're, you know, Joe Budden or some of these other people who loved being on Vlad and didn't love being on Vlad afterwards, don't do a Vlad interview. But I also say this as a person who just does like long form interviews and is always like, how can I get people to watch long form interviews and like actually do the conversation? I respect the craft and how he does that. Mm-hmm. And he has certain people on, like, I think it's interesting. We have certain people, like, it's really people of a certain age. So he can have like a Chuck D on, mm-hmm. and you get a good product. He has a Smokey Robinson on. You're not going to get some controversial Smokey Robinson incriminates himself.
Right.
He had Roland Martin on, and not just had Roland Martin on, but had Roland Martin on being interviewed by Sean Perez, not Vlad. I don't know if Vlad was in the room or not, but it's like, okay, it's not just clear cut. That said, if people are like, Vlad is the feds, probably.
I've heard that a lot. Like, I've heard that a lot.
I don't want to discount that. I just want to say, as an interviewer, because, you know, once you start saying anything nice about Vlad, people have reactions.
I will say, like, looking at the list, Vlad makes sense because he's actually like, he interviews hip hop artists. He like has, the thing is like, Vlad has been around long enough to the point that people I'm like close to and like younger artists are hopping on Vlad. Like Vlad has that point where it's like people are still going to Vlad to be interviewed. Like underground artists go to Vlad to be interviewed. And like he has research on them. He asks them real in-depth questions. Do I watch Vlad? No. Do I think Never. Vlad is helping people out? No. Vlad is trying to put people in prison. But I think it does make sense why he's on the list. Like, I get why he's on the list. I don't like him, but I know why he's there.
Yeah. I look at, like, again, is Vlad the feds?
Probably.
Maybe, probably. Like, I got nothing on that. It's the same way if you do an interview with Good Morning America and you talk with George Stephanopoulos. It's the same thing to me.
It's anyway. The feds, bro. Talking to the government.
Ada, what? Is there something else that stood out to you on this?
Give me 1 second. Let me hop back on. I will say, I'm trying to see. I'm mainly just upset about, like, you don't put, like, Big Boy and Funkmaster Flex, like, as high as that. Big Boy at 18 is crazy.
That's the thing. What about geography, though? Like, if you look on this as far as, like, how much of this is even, like, Sway, like, obviously Sway's the Bay, but that show is based in New York. Everyone comes to New York when they're, because whenever you have, like, a press run, it's walking through the same studio or the same building to different studios.
Right.
But, like, how many West Coast people are? It's like, you got Big Boy, you got, I mean, Nardwuar is Canada, but it is the West Coast, like, what, BC, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Nardwuar, Big Boy.
I don't know who Math Hoffa is, to be honest.
Math no Hoffa clue. Is East Coast. He's famous. So battle rapper, I think before the show was most known for punching someone in the face during a battle. I remember all that. Right,
battle rap is that weird part of the culture that I've never really listened to anyone try, that influences on it, because it just feels weird to me. I feel like it should be like Mook or something. Then it's like, I don't know. Like, them dudes matter. I don't know.
Yeah. I was like, I've watched some.
Is,
like,
battling even hip hop, or is that just a white culture?
Yo, Mac, you were just saying stuff right now.
Just asking a question.
Wait.
Yo, wait, repeat that question real quick.
Mac's trying to get on the list. Let's go.
Is battling really even hip hop culture anymore, or is that just white people stuff?
But when you say battling, do you mean, like, in general, or do you mean specifically, like, not acapella, like, battles?
Yeah, acapella battles. Like, going to a place and being like, yo, Bruce, I'm going to take your glasses off and spruce them up. You don't really want no problems with me, you young pup. Like, that's some corny stuff. Like, who's doing that?
Max Smith, everyone. Max Smith.
You know what I'm saying? And yes, that was a freestyle. But I'm just saying, like, for and real,
you,
like,
you didn't have any gun bars. It wasn't real.
Oh, yeah, I got a bop, bop, bop at the sky.
There we go.
You cannot go without, like, any battle rap I've seen. Anyways,
like, all the, like, it's weird because, like, I know tons of black battle rap fans, and they're all under the age of 25, right? Mm. But, like, who's pushing this culture, bro? Like, where you yell at other men and stand in their face and act like you're going to fight, but you never do. And, like, you touch their baseball cap and turn it around or something and be like, yeah, like, who's really pushing this, bro? Like, and why do people find it?
I can't tell you.
And they clearly wrote these lines.
Bro,
I know people who battle. I mean, here's the thing. They do say that. Like, they're not.
I know.
They don't pretend, they don't pretend like it's pre-written.
So basically what we're doing is pre-written. We're playing the dozens.
Yep.
With no beat. In front of a musty crowd. It's always musty. It always looks like it smells like onions in there.
Ilmac, if you're watching, we love you.
I love Ilmac. He's a white guy, and I love him. And he killed it. And now you have all these guys with ridiculous rap names. They all have, like, a variation of murder in them. And they just want to scream at each other and be like, yo, you so ugly, dog. Ooh. Yeah. And it's like, hold on. And the crowd's like, yeah, like, hold on, hold on, hold on. And they repeat themselves like 16 times, right? It's like, what are we doing? What are we really? I don't understand what part of hip hop that is. I grew up in hip hop. I grew up in New York City. I listened to hip hop my whole life. I don't know what this is. I don't know where it came from. Sure. I know where it came from. I don't understand how it got to where it is. Because like, when I was, like, young, we'd be at house parties. Somebody would put a hot beat on. Somebody would start rapping on it. They would diss somebody else. And before you know it, someone's switching the beats out and we're dissing each other over the beats. But you had to hop on a beat, bro. Mm. You don't get to spend 6 weeks researching my life. I heard your mom's name, Brenda. She's been on a long bender. Ooh. You know what I mean? Like,
Not the Brenda Benda. Mac, you're dropping dimes. Whoa.
I'm just saying.
You're going to have to make people pay for this one.
What is this culture? Because it's not one I recognize. It's just not. And I grew up in Portland where there's plenty of battle rappers that have gone international. They go to Germany to battle rap other people, which to tell you, Shrub, it's not hip-hop culture. If you got to go to Germany to do it.
Why you got motherfuckers going to Germany?
Yo, no, I agree.
I didn't want to be respectful. We've shot like a whole like ESPN show today. And I know you're short on time. So yeah, just ending it by being like, now let me talk about battle rap was genius. So thank you for that.
It just is on my mind.
Yeah.
NAACP.
Before I let you go, because I just want to know, what's happening with WOM? There's a thesis show tonight.
There is.
And yeah, have you got anything to plug before you head out?
I mean, I would just say, We Out Here magazine is going through a lot right now when it comes to transformation. We now have offices, which is really dope, like dope offices, which is really amazing. I wouldn't be surprised if you see a podcast coming out of there soon. I'm definitely trying to really move away, as you may have noticed by the non-activity on the blog. I'm really moving away from the magazine itself, and really just plugging into culture in different ways, as everyone that is plugged in already knows. But look for more shows in more places. Look for more content being created, and look for more music coming out of the camp that we're working on building. So I would definitely say, keep your eyes peeled. You don't need to go to the website unless you really want to, but follow us on social media as you have been. And
go to the website anyway, people.
Yeah, you never know what I throw up on there. It'd be some wild stuff.
We're not going to do any negative promotion. Click all the things.
That I'm not doing. I'm not trying to get shot, because I don't know if y'all know, but in Portland, I don't know about Chicago or New York or anywhere else, but in Portland, 51% of the people murdered are Black men. So, I'm trying to keep my numbers down.
Oh, man. Well, yeah. Max Smith, thank you. Thank you again. We have, the numbers first take. Numbers first things first. Numbers.
You need a name for this, Bruce. We need a name for this.
It's coming.
The Pilot. Most dangerous.
Oh, that's right. Misery Loves Company. Working title. At least until the Blazers get good, then we gotta figure something else out.
A shout out to Shaden, a shout out to Dame, and shout out to my guy Nurk, even though he takes all the slander.
Yeah. Right. Yusuf Nurkic, if you're watching, don't. The fan base is horrible. Just keep doing your thing, and I'm glad you got paid.
Heck yeah.
Okay.
This has been the Bruce Poinsett Show. Again, you can catch us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on the Numbers FM 96.7, or you can catch clips on youtube.com/Bruce Poinsett. If you want access to exclusive bonus coverage, you can go to patreon.com/Bruce Poinsett. And make sure to follow us on Twitch at twitch.tv/TheNumbersFM. That's numbers with a Z. Or on the Numbers Podcast Network on all podcasting platforms, or thenumberspodcast.com. Again, that's numbers with a C.